Have you ever looked at a piece of art and thought, oh, how on earth was that made? My next guest creates the most mesmerising artwork that may well make you wonder just how it was brought into existence. Claire Belfrage is a world-renowned glass blower. She's based in South Australia and she's the feature artist for this year's Sala of the South Australian Living Artist Festival. It's on all this month. Claire is also the subject of a new book. It explores the superwoman process she goes through to create each and every exquisite glass vessel. Now, Claire, you've been practicing glass blowing for nearly 3 decades. How did you start with glass?
I was very lucky, I would say. I went to university in Melbourne and it was a 4-year ceramics degree, and late in second year we were introduced to glass blowing. And I just loved it from that very beginning. There was something about the pace of working with hot glass, working with glass as a molten material, that was completely captivating for me, and I've pretty well done it ever since.
Yeah, well, look, I guess this is a good time as any to ask you, what is the process actually that you use?
Well, I work with glass as in its molten state. So we gather glass out of a furnace. So it's sitting in a furnace as a pool of glass. And it's something a little bit like dipping your spoon into honey, and you have to turn, otherwise it'll drip off. So you're working with it. It's like that, except it's a hell of a lot hotter. It's about 1160 degrees that the furnace is sitting at. And as you bring it out of the furnace, or right from that moment, it does start to cool and therefore stiffen. So we use a reheating chamber to warm up the glass again. That's on the end of your pipe. You have like a couple of minutes to do certain shaping elements, and then you've got to heat it again. So you're going backwards and forwards between that reheating chamber and manipulating your material.
Now, the blown glass vessels that you create, they're not made to look like a particular object or a shell or anything like that. But as you say, they have a sense of place. Can you explain that?
My ideas really come from the natural world. I am usually very focused on a particular pattern, but also a particular place or a sense of place. Sometimes my work is really rooted in a personal place for me. For example, like Mount Buffalo in Victoria, that was a place I went to many times as a child and also as an adult. And so there are colours, textures and definitely shapes that remain strongly in my memory of that place. The colours of the bark, the rock, the moss, the lichen are very, very particular, soft browns, blues and greys, and I try and bring them into my work, and not only through the colour but also through the textures that I'm working with.
Rhythm is very important for you in your work, and music, I understand, had an important role in your childhood. So I'm curious how you introduce rhythm into glass blowing.
The rhythm is largely created by the line work that I use. So I guess one of the things that I've really made my own is a particular technique called cane drawing, and that's where I draw with fine glass threads onto the surface of the form, and that may be at various stages in the process. And that enables me to work with intense patterns. So I've looked at a lot of the patterns in the natural world, whether it be from leaves or shells, or even just a sense of current within a place or space. And I reinterpret those using various lines. And with that repetition of the element, I really am trying to create a sense of rhythm. The rhythm is really important to me, and I think it's a way that it marks out the passing of time or the living of a life. And the other thing that I'm really interested in is not a tight sense of rhythm, but actually where there's aberrations and interruption to rhythm, because I think that's also the points where there's an expression of a life force. Does that make sense, Eddie?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. You explain this idea in such a concise and clear way, so thank you for that. What sort of music did you have as a child?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of, probably from my mum and dad, a lot of classical music. They both played instruments, and everyone in my family pretty well played musical instruments. We all had classical training, but me and some of my brothers and sisters have really enjoyed playing a lot of Irish music. So that's really interesting. When I think about rhythm and think about Irish music, there are often themes or motifs that are repeated over and over, and I can't help but feel indirectly that deep presence of music in my life has possibly infiltrated into my work, for sure.
Can we just go back a little bit to this a technique that you use of cane drawing, is that correct?
Yeah, that's what we call it.
How does it work?
Okay, well, I stretch out these really long, thin threads of glass, and in that long thread of glass I might have three very, very fine lines of white glass in the middle of it, and I stretch it out to the thickness of a lead in a standard lead pencil, and then I snap up those stringers to maybe a metre in length. Stringers or canes, we use them interchangeably, and then I hold a bundle of those stringers in one hand and a little flame or torch in the other, and I can literally flame these fine threads of glass onto the surface of my form. So I'm literally sort of fusing these lines onto my bubble of glass, and I put a few lines on my work, and then my assistant reheats the glass, then they come back out and I do a few more lines, torching it, flaming it onto the surface, and it gets reheated again. And we do that backwards and forwards over and over for 1 to 2 hours. That's how long the line work takes on a piece.
Wow, that is so intense in every kind of way.
It is intense, but there's a way where, I mean, I love it because you start with, it's blank, and then you slowly, by adding this element that you repeat over and over, you slowly build up a rhythm. So not only you're obviously creating the rhythm that you want in the finished piece, but the very action of it is also very rhythmical. And so I feel, and I really hope, that the sort of essence of the making is also captured within the piece. Mm. You know, you can get into a kind of headspace when you do a repetitive action that leads to somewhere. It's not a repetitive action that just stays the same for, you know, hours on end. You're actually building and creating something.
Claire, I'm sitting here, I'm very sadly, and I hope that I do actually get to have a chance to touch and be in the same room as some of your works at some point. But I'm looking here online at photographs of your work, and one work that's particularly caught my eye is A Wash in Brown from 2014.
Yes.
So it's a shape like a rock, with these incredibly subtle, of different density lines that seem to be going around it. How heavy are your works?
Look, the works, the smaller works are probably around 3 or 4 kilos, and I've recently done some really large pieces, which are probably around 10, 11 kilos.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, that is pretty huge. And when you put that weight on the end of a pipe that's, 1.3 metres in length, and it's moving and hot, it's quite a dramatic and exciting process to work with.
You must have arms like Serena Williams.
Well, probably not quite, but I work on them.
Yeah, for sure.
But I must say, Eddie, too, I work with a team of people. The process requires a number of people, and when I'm working on those big pieces, we've got 4 of us working on them. So it's a team sport, that's for sure.
It seems like a slightly dangerous question to ask, but have you ever had any accidents?
Oh, absolutely. Part of it is, I mean, you learn through all of the muck-ups that you do. There are a million ways to wreck a piece of glass, and I've done lots of them over my 30 years of practice. I had a couple of losses recently, just letting the work get a little bit too hot. If you let it get too hot when you're reheating it, it can buckle and fold on itself and you can lose the form. And conversely, if you are working on it outside of that reheating chamber for too long, you can let it, it can get too cold and it can crack and explode. So they're the really simple, you know, parameters of working in the hot glass process that mean it's precarious.
Oh, Claire Belfrage, thank you so much for coming into the studio. Claire Belfrage, a glassblower and the feature artist at this year's South Australian Living Artists Festival. You can read all about her and her work in the newly released book by Kay Lawrence and Sarah Waters. It's called Claire Belfrage, Rhythms of Necessity. And Claire's solo exhibition, A Measure of Time, is on now until the 16th of September at the Jam Factory in Adelaide. Now, if you can't make it, I really encourage you so much to go to our website to see a couple of her pieces. They truly are extraordinary.